if you can't pick up my accents from Australia, so I'm from Sydney originally, where wallabies, kangaroos, all that kind of stuff thrive and live. And so I got brought, as Pastor Dick, you got brought here. I got brought from Australia to America in 1984 with the Olympic Games, with Youth for the Mission. And that's how I got here so many years ago. So it's really great to be here on 60 years. Congratulations. Come on, let's give up a big hand. Woo! You've made 60 years and you're still alive. I mean, that's great stuff, right? That's really, really good. And we are just so proud that you're all here today. Thank you so much for joining us and for hearing these testimonies about how incredibly faithful God is. God is faithful. Amen? So I was praying about what we should pray about. We are in a process called 40 Days of Prayer. And as I have been elected to this new position, I felt like, you know, the best place to start is with prayer, because that's what we've got to begin with. And as we pray, we're seeking Jesus. What do you want us to do with our conference? What are you directing us to do? Because things have changed. You know, COVID's come out of nowhere. It has significantly changed the face of what the church is about. And so we are wrestling with that, saying, Jesus, what do you want us to do? Because things have shifted. Statistically, nationally, 1/3 of the church has never come back. Another 1/3 of the church is kind of thinking about it. And what we have today is about 1/3 of the church. I think you've beat that criteria, which is kind of cool. But that's the reality. So the question is, Jesus, what do you want us to do? As we thought about the ministry that's happened here at this church, we have seen testimony after testimony after testimony about how God has been faithful, how you ministered to this culture. What did you do? You were on mission for what Jesus called you to do as a church. So now we come into this new generation and this new day, and we have to ask the question again, Jesus, what are you calling us to do? And the only way I know how to find that out is to pray. So I believe as we enter into this time, and I'm going to land this plane in 15 minutes or less so we can have cake. Amen? Does anybody want to be out of here in 15 minutes? Well, that's going to mean that we're going to shift the slides around. So I'm just going to buzz around to my slides and we're going to get it done in 15 minutes. But I thought about, as we think about 60 years, how do we get there? We got there because we had the winning hand. I don't know. I love playing games. Like, I'm a guy who likes playing Catan. I like playing Pokemon. I like playing crazy kind of stuff. If anybody's Pokemon, you know, let me know. Hey, I know Mills. He's there. He's like, I'm a Pokemon guy. You know, and I love to win. I mean, that's the great. It's so cool when you've got the winning hand and you're waiting to get all 10 points and you know you've got the winning hand and you slap those cards down when it gets to you. I won! Right? Anybody? Is it just? I love to win. I like having the winning hand. And the thing about being followers of Jesus is we've got the winning hand. Woo! We really do. You know, and it's so exciting to hear all these stories about these, you know, how we have the winning hand. So, before we get into that, let's pray for a few minutes, and I'm going to see what Jesus is going to do in 10 minutes. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. God, we just believe that the power of the Lord is in this house. That the presence of the Lord is in this place. This is a place where impossibility does not exist. And while we're in the presence of the Lord, there is power. This is a place where every distraction can be set aside. We've come here today to center our focus on Jesus and His immense love for us. This is a place where we declare that He is worthy and that He is exalted above everything that we possibly are going through. And Father, we thank You that You have authority in our lives. And Lord, whatever issues are represented here, that we come to You in the name of Jesus, declaring Your strength and Your authority. We ask now in Your presence that things that we have brought with us that contradict Your promises would be made to look so small that in Your presence the fullness of Your joy would overrun it, gladness would fill our hearts, fill our minds, and that in Your presence, whatever looked bigger than us, will begin to look small in the sight of You who gives light to all things. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hopefully you believe with me that God can say something to you in 10 minutes. Do you believe that? Because I do. I mean, I believe that God can speak to us, right? And I believe that He can speak to you just as well as He can speak to me. And I have a sense that God has something for us this morning that we need to take home. So I'm a really good, I see Susan is writing. You're one of the great people. She's writing notes. And if you're a writer, you know, you want to write something down today. Write it down. Because when God speaks, I like to write it down so I take it home with me, that I remember, stick it on the fridge, do something with it so that I remember. So we're going to look at King D. King D is King David, one of the greatest writers of Psalms that there ever was, right? So King D is incredible. But as you look at David in all of his glory and all of his grimy as well, because when we get a good picture of David, we get a good picture of both. Right? When we look at Psalm 59 and it goes between praising God and all of a sudden he's cursing God. You know, it's just like, I'm not cursing God, cursing his enemies. That would be bad. Although God can handle you getting upset with him, but that probably wouldn't be a good idea. But his ballads make up about half of the book of Psalms. And I like reading Psalms, and we love doing with Psalms, like praying with Psalms. When I grew up in the Church of England, we would sing the Psalms, you know, how blessed is the Lord who walks in the... da-da-da-da-da-da, and we'd sing. We'd love singing the Psalms, right? Have you ever sung the Psalms? It's great. It's something you can do. But we love getting into Psalms. It's elastic, it's durable, it's profound, and King David is a conqueror, and as we look at him, we're able to see honesty, and we're able to see his own heart, and we're also able to see what he said to God. So when we think of 60 years and what God's going to do with this church, by the 60 years, 60 years from now, I'll be gone. Some of you will be gone. Some of you will be still here. But the sense is, in 60 years, what is God calling us to do? And the reality of what we have, why we're here today, is because other people positioned themselves in prayer to get us to where we're at today. In the same way, we need to position ourselves in prayer to prepare ourselves where God's going to be taking us as a community. So it's really important that we understand how we can position ourselves. As we look at Psalms, we look at all these hallmark moments, these wonderful things that you want to put on a coffee cup, put on your wall, you put on the toilet wall, so when you sit down, you sort of see the stuff. You know, we make doilies out of Psalms. I mean, we love to do all of that kind of stuff. But some Bible scholars actually call Psalms from David the intestinal section of the Bible. Right? It is the grit and the grind of our faith, right? It's the guts of the Bible. And so when we look at Psalms, we see both the battles on the inside and we see the battles on the outside. I can absolutely assure you, for everybody who made this church what it is, that they all walk through battles on the inside and they walk through battles on the outside. Right? We see that, right? And so we understand this. So to kick it off, we look at Psalms 59 very, very quickly, and my handy dandy little wand is not working. So, there we go. Okay, here's something. I love it. It says, you are my strength, right? I watch you, God. You are my fortress. I mean, that's something you put on a doily, right? That's something you put on your fridge. That's good stuff. Let's look at the next thing here. He says, God will go before me. That's great, right? That's really good stuff. But don't kill them, God, because if you do that, they'll forget that you're a shield. They'll forget that who you are. But then look at this next section. I don't know how you read this, but have a look at this. When you read the Bible, do you ever hear the voice of the person who's speaking? Does it ever sort of think about, because sometimes we just read the Bible. I can read this and go, in your might, uproot them and bring them down. Right? Or I can read it and go, in your might, you know, uproot them and bring them down, because their sins are of their mouths, for their words of their lips. Let them be caught in their pride, for their curses and their lies. Right? Can you ever, read the Bible that way? Someone, right? Come on. Look with me here, Lord, right? As we read the Bible, we have to sort of think about how is this person speaking. This David, in one sense, he's praising the Lord, going, "Woo, you are awesome, I love you, let's sing a song." And in the next minute, he's like, "Arr!" That's David. That's your experience, right? That's the guts of the Bible. And we have to begin to think about that process. How much more time we got? I got a few more minutes. All right, here we go. So here's I'm going to slip through. Here's what I really want you to think about. As you think about the next 60 years, there will be wars. There will be weapons that you'll need to use. And I'm not talking about an AK-36. I'm just talking about, we're talking about spiritual weapons, right? And there's a way, right? There's the wars, there'll be weapons, and there's a way. Now, the internal battles that you'll experience in the next years are the things that will rage the strongest. As we walk through what we're walking through as a nation and the division, there's all sorts of even discussion right now about a second civil war. I don't even know you've read that. There's all sorts of stuff going on that's absolutely out of my mind. But the internal things will rage the strongest. Now, David says, but evil spirit came along. He's like, he's there with Saul. You know, he's playing the harp. Saul's got something going on inside of him, right? I don't know if you've ever had to fight a battle on the inside where you've also had to fight a battle on the outside, right? It's a terrible thing. You know, when you're in a position where somebody you're trying to serve and you're trying to deal with them and you're trying to minister to people, that then they take it out on you, right? It's a really terrible thing to grow up in a home where there's a man and a woman that don't love themselves, and because they don't love themselves, they make you the target, right? Anybody experience that? That's kind of rough stuff. Your kids aren't nodding, so that's a good thing. But Saul's greatest battle is with his own soul. The thing that's going on inside, we see Saul walking, talking, breathing civil war, right? The real war, however, is not on the outside. The real war is on the inside. And so the greatest battle that you will ever understand, that the measures of your life will come out of your greatest battles. What do you think about that? You are going to go through stuff. It's going to happen. It's not when. I mean, it's not if, it's when. It will happen, right? But the day that you become victorious, I'm sort of missing some slides here, I think. If we can bow. See, I'm messing with my slides, and so I don't really know where I'm at anymore. So let me find that. What is it? That's not right. All right, what's the next one say? This is not the one I'm looking for. Let's go for this one. All right, I know where we're at now. Let's go back one. Let's go back here. I love these things. So, what it was trying to get to, if you can win the war on the inside, we can win the battle on the outside. We have to really think about the process of how do I overcome what's in front of me. Like, we have battles on the outside. Your finances, and you know, maybe a relationship, maybe something's going on around you, maybe it's COVID. There's all sorts of stuff on the outside. And the reality is, for instance, if you're dealing with your finances, the number of people here statistically who are in debt due to their Visa card is probably quite significant. That's a battle on the outside. But the reality of the battle on the outside really is, you're not fighting with your credit card company. You're not fighting with the Visa card. Really what you're fighting with is an internal battle about why am I spending so much? What's the core issue that I have to spend more than I have coming in? Right? That's an internal battle. And if you can win the internal battle, then you won't have an external battle. Right? And we really, as we think about the process, we really have the winning hand. Because Jesus is the one who gives you strength and authority and power to deal with the battle that's on the inside. If you are a follower of Jesus this morning, you have all authority to deal with the stuff that's going within you. And that's right. I heard that wonderful testimony. I forgot who. They said, you know, I was depressed. I was struggling. I came to church. People pray with me. That was an internal battle that God gave authority to by people standing beside her. By overcoming the battle on the inside, she can now worship Jesus, and the battles on the outside have been dealt with. You understand the principle? Okay, second principle. Let's move along this way. I want to say, would you say we have the winning hand? I put that there to remind us. Can you tell me? Do you have the winning hand? You have the winning. Are you sure? You didn't say that very convincingly. Do you have the winning hand? Is that better? It's kind of there. Come on, give it. Come on, come on. Give me some. Woo! Come on, come on. Say, turn to someone next to you. I got the winning hand. Come on, I've got the winning. You didn't say it. You're not with me. Come on. Have you got the winning hand? You got the winning hand. She's got the winning hand. That's cool. So, all right. So here's the thing. The nature of our weapons. You have wars, both wars on the inside, and you got both wars on the outside. Some of us have that going on together, and that's really hard. But the testimony of our lives is that God's hand is over you the whole time. You're going to walk into stuff in the next coming years, and you've got to remember that God's hand is on you. You are a dearly beloved child of God. And you've got to say that to you. You've got to look yourself in the mirror, because sometimes we defeat ourselves because of the battle on the inside, and we have to look in the mirror and say, I am a dearly beloved child of God. I am precious. I don't care what anyone else has to say, because the battle on the inside, with what people are saying to me, I'm going to look in the mirror. I am a dearly beloved child of God. I am, right? The testimony of our lives is that God's hand is over you, and it will continue to rest over your life. And it's a very powerful moment. So here we understand that our weapons of warfare, right? So we talk about warfare, not talking about AK-47s. We're talking about the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. There will be stuff that you'll have to face through prayer. And you'll find that as you face in prayer, it's not just like, oh, Jesus, please bless them. Hallelujah. Amen. And we're done. Right? It's something where we have to dig in and recognize that we're in a battle. There are spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places that seek out your destruction. If you're a follower of Jesus, wake up, because there is a spiritual war. You've got to wake up and see the fact that sometimes, there's not a demon under every closet, I'm not saying that, but I am saying that sometimes the issues that we're dealing with are spiritual, and we need to perceive them, and the only way we can begin to learn them is by prayer. So I want to encourage you to pray. Here's my last point. I want you to write it down. This is it. This is what I want you to take home with you. This is the concept. We're going to eat cake. Everybody ready for cake, right? We're going to get there. We're going to get to cake. Cake's coming. It's not there yet. It's almost there. It's one of these points, and I'm going to get to it. Okay, here it comes. The way, right? Here's everything this morning. If you could take home anything before you eat cake, and before you take a bite of this cake, say this to someone, okay? You ready for this? Are you ready? This is what I felt like God's word was to this church this morning. As I was praying, seeking God, this is what I felt God say. You ready? Are you sure? Are you sure? You're not ready. You're ready. Here we go. We do not fight for victory. We fight from. If you're a follower of Jesus this morning, we're not trying to win the war. The war's already been won. Jesus gave his life that you could have a relationship with him. That battle's been won. We're not fighting for victory. I'm fighting from a position from victory. We fight from, the victory's already been won. We fight from victory. So I want to encourage you this morning, regardless of where you find yourself this morning, that you don't try to fight the battle and think, I've got this. You don't got this. You are a dearly beloved child of God. And in knowing Jesus, you've got the battle that's already been won. And I want you to stand on that. So here's what I want to invite you to close your eyes. Why are you going so low? You know, it's so funny because in churches we do this thing where we think that people don't see us doing things and everybody sees you doing it. It's kind of the weird thing. So people sort of go down low. It's like, why does that help? I mean, like, sorry to make fun of you. Yeah, that's good. No. Arise, my love! Okay. hey, I just want to pray with you. In a church of this size, there's all sorts of stuff that's going on. And I just want you to know that Jesus has got this. You are precious to God. And he loves you for the 50-plus years you've served Jesus. Lord, bless you. For your service to the kingdom, that I share in the Lord, you know, the things that you don't know is pastors sometimes go home at night and they cuddle up together and they cry. Because hard things happen. Your pastors, I can probably guarantee you've gone home some nights and just broken down in tears. Because it's hard. But thank you for your service. And kids, you guys, I know what you all have been through because my kids have been through the same thing. And you, what you don't see is the pastor's kids go through some of the stuff with the pastor. And it sucks. It's hard to be a pastor's kid. So pray for them. And for y'all, y'all got to remember who you are. You are dearly beloved children of God. And I want to encourage you this morning. If you don't know Jesus, I met Wanda yesterday on the trail by my home. She oversees the trail, and she stops me, and we get talking, and she remembers my name. I couldn't remember her name, and I was just so ashamed. And we got talking about Jesus. And she says, I don't get you guys. What is it that you have? You know, and we got a lot of talking to do. But if you don't know Jesus, the hope is not in this building. It's not in the structure. It's not Methodist church. It's not that. It's simply about Jesus. And Jesus came to give you hope, to give you life. You know, there's two words for life, the psuche and the zoe in Greek. Psuche is like when I used to go surfing in Australia, and you get your surfboard and you put it under the waves, you know, and you come up on the other side, and if you do it wrong, man, you get sucked into that wave, and your board goes this way, your feet go this way, you've got sand in places you don't want to talk about, and you're just like a washing machine. And he says, I've come to give you life, and life more abundantly. He's saying, I've come to give you zoe, And it's the context of saying, I want to teach you how to ride the waves of life. And if you've got Jesus, He's going to take you out of the washing machine where life is like this all the time and say, let me teach you how to ride the waves. I want to show you how to live life in a manner that will be awesome. Doesn't mean that you will be relieved of trouble. But He says He will be a help in times of trouble. So that when you enter into it, if you've got Jesus, He's going to show you how to overcome the washing machine and get on top. I want to pray with you. Can we do that? So, Father, we just come as a body of Christ right now. As there are many here, if not everybody, who are followers of Jesus. And we just, again, sit back for a moment and recognize that we are fighting not for victory, but we're fighting from victory. Because You said, I've come to give you life and life everlasting. And if you're a follower of Jesus, you've already got that. But I want to remind you, because sometimes we forget. Sometimes our positioning is in a place of defeat, rather than being in a position where we stand firm, stand up, stand tall, put our battle face on, and move forward against the enemy. But also recognize this morning that there may be one or two of you who've not yet asked Jesus to be Lord of your life. But you're going to put your weight on Him. You're going to, everything, your trust is going to be in Him. And I recognize that maybe you're here this morning and you're like, dude, I'd like to be raised out of the suke, the stuff of life. I'd love to change. And I'm telling you the way to do that is to ask Jesus. And so this morning, if that's you, it doesn't matter how young you are, it doesn't matter if you're a little kid, it doesn't matter if you're the oldest person in the room, this is for you. And so this morning, if you don't know Jesus, you've not asked Him to be Lord of your life, then I just invite you, everybody else's eyes are closed, because I'm looking around, if you could catch my eye and just say, yeah, that's me. I want to know Jesus. Is there anyone this morning? All right. One. Anyone else? If I haven't seen you, just put your hand up. Let me. Okay. All right. So, Father, we see a few eyeballs this morning. And Lord, and as You are looking, would you just ask Jesus to be Lord of your life? It's as simple as that. Just say, Jesus, would You be Lord of my life? I pray. And everyone would say,